Big day on Friday, October 4th, to wrap up the week. Great show with Dr. Ted Andriatis from Yale University and the Connecticut Agricultural Experiment Station in New Haven regarding the triple E virus. Should we or should we not be overly concerned about a mosquito or two found with triple E in Stamford? We got our weekly update from Republican State Senator Kevin Kelly of Stratford. And I was wondering whether or not water pipes are still popular on college campuses.
You're listening to Connecticut Today with Paul Pacelli on WICC 600.
Yes, and we are here, hour number two of our four-hour get-together. And we're always, you know, at 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. WICC 600 on the radio, online all the time, 24-7, WICC600.com. Well, a lot of folks are maybe a little tense about the mosquito situation, so we wanted to hook up with a gentleman who has been pretty much the authority in this area around the state, voice of reason in this for several years. He's director and head of the Center for Vector Biology and Zoonotic Diseases at the Connecticut Agriculture and Experiment Station in New Haven. He's also a clinical professor at the Yale School of Public Health. You've seen this gentleman, heard him all around. We welcome back Dr. Theodore Andriatis to the program. Dr. Andriatis, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Very good. Good to be with you.
Well, doctor, you know, down here in Fairfield County, we got a little bit of an uh-oh earlier this week. You know, the triple E had pretty much been limited to one town north of New Haven and out east, but you folks found something in Stamford, did you not?
Yes, we did. We did get one infected pool of mosquitoes down in the Stamford area, but at this time of the year, it really is relatively inconsequential. You know, what's happening at this time is that the birds that carry this virus are beginning their migration patterns, and they're beginning to move around, and they're moving around the state, and apparently what happened is one of these infected mosquitoes landed in Stamford, but this is not of great concern at this time of the year.
Well, that's good to know. Doctor, if you can, and I've tried to use articles to explain it on the air, and I know it can be very kind of wonkish, but can you distill down the relationship, as you mentioned, between local birds and these mosquitoes and the disease?
Sure. Eastern equine encephalitis is a virus that's been with us for a very, very long time. It's really native to this region, and the first major outbreak that we were aware of, at least in horses in Connecticut, dated back to 1938. The virus circulates amongst wild birds, common birds, robins, wood thrushes, and there is one particular type of mosquito that typically occurs in freshwater woodland habitats. That's responsible for the transmission cycle and the buildup of the virus. And this mosquito principally feeds on birds. And that is not necessarily a problem. It's when the virus builds up to very high levels, as it did this year, and then you get a spillover into mosquitoes that also feed on mammals, which includes horses and, unfortunately, humans. And that is apparently what happened this past year.
Interesting. So birds, I guess, are kind of the transport mechanism here, is what you're saying, right?
Yes. And as far as we know, our basic understanding of this virus is that it periodically gets introduced into the northeastern United States and even up in the upper Midwest, like in Michigan, where they're also experiencing an outbreak this year. And the source really is the southern parts of the United States, principally Florida, where this virus will circulate all year round. And our basic understanding is that migrating birds in the spring will bring this virus up with them, and it gets seeded, if you will, into these freshwater swamps. And if the mosquito population is high enough, it'll start to take off, where the transmission cycle will build and the virus will build up to very high levels.
It's interesting, Dr. Andriatis, that you mentioned it kind of lives all year in Florida, kind of like our elderly relatives do, but do we see a lot of cases of it down there or not? Because from what I read, doctor, and correct me if I'm wrong, human infection, at least up to this year, is pretty rare.
Yes, it is. There's only about 6 or 7 cases that occur on an annual basis, and you don't get a lot of human cases in Florida, maybe because people are indoors quite a bit on air conditioning and not being exposed. You do get quite a few horse cases. Typically, they'll get several hundred in a given year. That's quite typical. But we here in the Northeast are a focal center for this virus. It occurs really sporadically. We can go years where we'll see no activity at all, and then all of a sudden we'll see a major outbreak. What is really unique this year is that the outbreak is occurring throughout the entire Northeast and is really still extended out into Michigan. And we haven't seen this sort of pattern before. In the past, we might get a small outbreak that's highly focal, and it occurs maybe in southeastern Massachusetts or over in Rhode Island or even southern New Hampshire, and then occasionally in Connecticut. But never have we seen the outbreak in as widespread a region throughout the Northeast as we've had this year. And that has resulted in a really high number of human cases. This year alone, we already have 22 humans that have been infected with this virus in the Northeast. And unfortunately, there have been 7 fatalities. So this has really been a tough year for us.
From an virological standpoint and epidemiological standpoint, Dr. Andriotis, where does this virus come from? Have we tried to figure out an origin or a species or part of the world where it might have been born?
Well, as far as we know, it's native to the eastern half of the United States. And as I indicated, you know, it circulates all year round in Florida. And, the first major outbreak that was noted in the Northeast was in 1938, but it was probably here long before that as well. One of the trends that we have observed is that since 2013, we do seem to have more recurrent outbreaks of this virus in the Northeast, and we are seeing an expansion of the virus into more northerly regions, which include southern Vermont, southern Maine, and southern New Hampshire, where prior to 2013, this virus was not known to occur. And so we're not entirely sure. It could potentially be related to climate change or a current trend that we're seeing right now. But it's something that we need to monitor very, very closely in the next coming years.
And it's unfortunate, Doctor, because you and I have seen the numbers. It is, when contracted by a human being, it's often fatal, correct?
Yes, unfortunately, this particular virus has a very high case fatality rate. That's roughly 30% in individuals that do develop the clinical symptoms of encephalitis.
Finally, Dr. Andriotis, your advice, if you could just state that again, and when and if and when, I guess we're waiting for the first frost, correct?
Yeah, we are almost done. The numbers of mosquitoes we're collecting are way low. The number of positive pools is very, very low. In your area, in Lower Fairfield and in Litchfield counties, there's no real risk at this time. We may find an occasional mosquito, but in that area of the state, at this time, there's no real need to alter school activities. But I will point out that, you know, if you're going into any wetland areas, swamps, especially during early evening hours when it's still warm, you want to protect yourself and use some repellent. And certainly don't think about camping. And if you're hiking, just protect yourself. And the next week or so, we'll be entirely done with this and we'll be okay.
And Doctor, finally, for maybe some young parents who are worried about using repellents on kids, is DEET still the active ingredient? And is that safe used in small amounts?
Yes, DEET has it's been around for quite some time. It has a very good track record. You can either use DEET or a product that contains picaridin. You don't have to use the high concentration. You can use 7%. It usually comes in 7, 15, or 30%. Mm-hmm. The only difference is the higher the concentration, the longer it will last. But if you're only going to be out for a short time, and if you're applying it to children, use the 7%. Just make sure you don't ingest it and you don't get it in your eyes.
Dr. Theodore Andriotis, Yale University School of Public Health, and also director of the Connecticut Agriculture Experiment Station. Doctor, thanks for joining us. We do appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. There you go. All right, folks, there you go. Well, he said in a couple of weeks we'll be out of the woods. Just if you're going, try not to go near any wetlands. If you have to, you know, long pants, long sleeves, maybe wear a hat and use some of the mosquito repellent, DEET, or just tell the mosquitoes, I root for the New York Jets. They'll laugh at you and fly away. Tuesday, Aaron says, they'll laugh till they drop that. You see him go, they'll blow a propeller on their little mosquito back there. Right around that time, every week at this time, right around 5:30 or so, we check in with our main guy up in Hartford, Republican State Senator Kevin Kelly from the great metropolis of Stratford. When they talked about Gotham City in Batman, not New York, they were talking about Stratford. Right, Kevin?
I don't know about that, Paul.
No? You don't shine the bat signal above Stratford? Is that what you're telling me?
No, Stratford's a lovely community. It's a shore
okay.
community, and
all right.
I love this town.
Okay, just trying to butter you up, you know. So listen, Kevin, still no special session, still waiting maybe for the turn of the year, who knows, but what can you tell us about what's happening or what's not happening under the dome on the Hill?
Well, there's been a couple of things this week. Most importantly is that with October 1st, the rollout of the Democratic tax plan has taken root with, you know, many things like the grocery tax and tax on trade-ins of motor vehicles. So, you know, these are the ramifications of what the governor and his majority passed this past session. So that happened this week. There was also the rollout of the president of UConn with the free college education for households under $50,000. That's actually a decent commitment to make for, I'm going to say, kids that need an opportunity and a good education to move forward. The question, obviously, is always how does that get funded? You know, is the general fund going to pay for this, or is it something that maybe UConn Foundation could pay for, the contributors to UConn? Because we do know that the yeah. price of college education in Connecticut continues to increase. You know, and legislatively on my plate, I'm looking at ways in which we can try to bring down the high cost of health care for Connecticut's mm-hmm. Middle-class struggling families.
Kevin, any movement on the, I know we've talked numerous times about the Medicaid funding and the threat to, I know, at least one nursing home in the Valley, one in Fairfield. Any movement on that?
Well, what's happening, and this is becoming, I'm going to say, the go-to playbook of the governor, rather than actually fixing the problem in statute, he tries to just do it administratively. It's like the grocery tax that we've talked about over the weeks, where the grocery stores are in the statute. The same thing here. This problem with nursing homes is in the statute.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And why don't we meet in special session and fix it? Because it's who do we represent? If we represent the taxpayer, if we represent the seniors, if we represent the greatest generation and our families, then we'd want to protect them from big government, big mm-hmm. labor, and big business. But if you're not representing the families of Connecticut, then you're not going to fix this. And that's why I think we have the problems with trying to get the governor to go into special session is, you know, he'd rather have this tax stay on the books. He'd rather have that law stay on the books that's going to hurt seniors rather than actually fix it to make sure that they can rest and have peace of mind mm-hmm. that they're not going to get abused by the government or any other entity.
Kevin, thanks, buddy. Appreciate the weekly check-in, and we will talk
sure,
to
absolutely.
You next Friday. Thanks, Kevin.
Okay, take care, Paul.
Appreciate it. Thanks. Come on. Who doesn't remember a bong out there, huh? Who doesn't remember a bong? Aaron, when you got out of school... When you got out of school...
Do not get me in trouble here.
Get you in trouble? No! I'm calling on your deep-seated talents as an observational reporter.
Okay.
I'm sorry, they're not called bongs anymore. Were there... water pipes in use when you were in college?
Many different kinds, some even involving fruit. And some,
really?
Some involving fruit, some of the traditional, some involving fruit, some
so
involving...
So wait a minute, so hold it, so the weed went into the thing, they'd light and they'd filter it?
Well, through. They would like, and from my observation, you would carve out...
From an observation.
You would carve out an apple and then you would set it up and then you use it that way. Or I've seen it used with a roll, like almost like a, not a paper towel, a toilet paper roll.
Like a roll?
Yeah, like I've seen
like a hard roll?
Yeah, no, not like a bread. Not like bread, but like a, like an actual, like, a toilet paper. I couldn't think of it.
Yeah.
Like a toilet paper roll.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you set it up and it kind of, they're tricks. There's tricks of the trade that I have observed over my time.
That you've observed?
Oh, absolutely. I've observed
afar.
From afar. From a great distance.
Yes.
With binoculars.
From afar. From afar. Speaking of, look who's calling me. Boston University Alumni Fund. I kid you not. Yeah, yeah. Look at that. I'm talking about weed, and... So you've observed... This was strictly observational, is what you're telling me.
Yes, for educational purposes.
You were taking notes, yes.
Yep. Had a paper to write.
They used a piece of fruit... Did anybody eat the fruit afterwards?
Oh, no. Once it's been hollowed out, there's no point.
Well, no, let me tell you something. I went to school with some guys that would have said, let me have that.